I know you probably have your summer booked, so you may just want to jot down vacation to Crimea in your mental notebook. Crimea can use as many tourists as it can get. Ever since Russia took over the region, foreigners are staying away. So the Russian government is encouraging its citizens to take a patriotic holiday. The BBC's Lucy Ash has been speaking with tourists in Yalta, one of Crimea's busiest resorts.
I spoke to a lot of Russians who said that they'd come especially this year because they felt that Crimea had come back into the Russian fold. They were very proud of that. This diamond-shaped peninsula that hangs off southern Ukraine was first conquered by Russia under Catherine the Great, and her lover and her favourite general, Grigory Potemkin, conquered it, and he wrote to her, "Russia needs its own little bit of paradise." And it is a holiday paradise and has been for decades and decades during the Soviet period. So people have very happy memories of Crimea, of being there from all over different parts of the Russian Federation, and especially people in the most inhospitable zones where snow covers the land for most of the year. They dream of that two-week vacation. Sometimes it's called a putyovka, sort of what keeps them going. So they feel very much that it belongs to them.
Some incredible history there, going back to Catherine the Great. You spoke with a woman named Natasha who gives a pretty good sense of what it means to Russians to have Crimea back. Let's hear from her.
It is linked to our memories of childhood and youth. It is the place many of us first fell in love. It makes us nostalgic. The return of Crimea is not really about territory. It's more about reclaiming somewhere very close to our hearts.
And what about the more recent inhabitants, the Ukrainian locals? How do they feel about Crimea kind of becoming Russian Côte d'Azur again?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And as I was walking along the promenade in Yalta, I came across quite an unexpected sight, which was a Ukrainian man wearing one of those traditional Ukrainian peasant blouses with embroidery, playing a traditional Ukrainian instrument and singing in Ukrainian, which I thought was in a way quite audacious because there are Russian flags everywhere and pictures of Mr. Putin everywhere. There's a great sort of atmosphere of Russian triumphalism. So to see this Ukrainian guy was quite a surprise.
What about the sanctions? Does that mean that Crimea gets Russian tourists, maybe some Ukrainian tourists, but no one else? Can they go?
Yeah, the overwhelming majority of tourists are Russians. And the Russian government put on all these extra flights this summer to try and help to get people there. Several flights a day from Moscow and St. Petersburg. You know, National Geographic magazine featured Crimea on its front cover, saying this was one of the world's top 20 destinations to discover.
That.
Yeah, and with a picture of this beautiful castle perched on a clifftop. What a difference this year. The beaches are not empty, but compared to how they normally are.
What about any unique boardwalks, carnival rides? What is the scene there?
Well, there's a scene in the restaurants. They have these kind of restaurant singers, crooners. You know, they're belting it out so loud that you can't possibly talk at the table. So the only kind of thing to do is to knock back the vodka and get up on the dance floor. There was a really important electronic music festival called Kazantip. It was a real sort of hedonistic love fest of beautiful young people in skimpy bikinis. They also invited DJs from all over Europe, some of the top electro dance DJs. And that brought in quite a lot of money. But this year it was cancelled.
Does it also have a Las Vegas aspect to it? Because a colleague of mine who used to work in Moscow said some friends of his, men, invited him down to Crimea, showed up with his wife, and they said, you don't come here with your wife.
There is that sort of aspect of it because, you know, it's a place of illicit kisses. It's the place where a lot of friends of mine sort of had their first cigarette or their first illegal bit of alcohol when they were at children's camps down there. It has that sort of thing. But talking about gambling in Las Vegas, they've got this idea now that they're going to make Crimea a huge center of gambling. The local government there have boasted that soon, you know, it'll rival Macau and Las Vegas as a destination for gamblers. But I think that's slightly wishful thinking.
Lucy Ash, producer and reporter of the recent BBC radio documentary, Crimea, Paradise Regained. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And those are sounds from last year's Kazantip Festival in Crimea. Not on this year, though. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH here in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. Back with you tomorrow.